Well, hello, everybody.
Let me get this thing out of my ear here. Welcome to second service on the last Sunday of 2015. That's pretty cool. Yes. And we had a great message from Rob Steele this morning. I don't know if it was anybody here at your first, you're double dipping? Anybody double dipping this morning? Hey, I am too. Yeah, this is good stuff. This is good stuff. And he talked about how this is the time of year we, you know, we make these New Year's resolutions about getting in shape and stuff. And Brother Rob, you stole my message, the one that I thought I was going to preach until about 7:30 last night. So it's really cool how the Lord worked. I had no idea what he was going to talk about. But it's as if we set up a sermon series and he spoke part one. I'm going to give you part two, okay? So, yeah, I think a lot of us are thinking about we're going to eat better, right? We're going to exercise more. We're going to get on a budget. We're going to get on a scale, maybe. We're going to get on the ball. And for Christians, this is the time of year when we think, you know, I really am. I want to press into this. You want to pray more. I want to read my Bible more. And maybe get in a small group. And those are great things. And I thank the Lord for fresh beginnings. Anybody glad for a fresh start? It's great. Our God is so good. I'm thankful for his patience with us, too, because we blow it quite a bit. And he's so merciful to us. And really, the Bible says that the mercies of the Lord are new every morning. So we don't actually have to wait for a new year to get a fresh start. Every morning you get up, it's a clean slate. You get a fresh start. It doesn't matter how bad you blew it yesterday. You know, a lot of times we quit, don't we? I derailed off of my diet or my exercise or my Bible reading plan or whatever. So, well, just forget it. No. You can start again the next day. That's what Daniel was talking about earlier. You know, you just every day you can get back up at it. So I'm wrapping up my 2015 Bible reading plan. Does anybody have YouVersion? All you YouVersion people, oh my goodness, that's not nearly enough of you. If you've got your smartphone or your tablet, I want you to go online right now. Go pull it out, get to the app store, download the free app called YouVersion. It's all one word, YouVersion. It's seriously the best Bible reading app out there, and it's free. Marilyn's got, you know, Exhibit A right down here. All these versions of the Bible, and they have reading plans built in. And I was doing a year-long reading plan, so I'm getting down to the last days of my reading plan, which is cool. There's month-long ones, week-long ones. There's 6 months, whole Bible, half Bible. There's all kinds of reading plans. There's something for everybody. And so just get that if you can at all. Get the YouVersion app for smartphone or tablet. It's pertinent to what I'm going to talk about because I just want to share a few thoughts today about what the Lord's been speaking to me. And so I hope it will really speak to your situation too. And I'm going to throw in a few practical things that I've learned kind of the hard way, maybe along the way, about delight and devotion. Delight and devotion. So I want to read a couple of short verses, and these are not going to be on the screen. So if you've got YouVersion handy, or a good old-fashioned Bible in paper and ink. I love those. We're going to look at Psalm 37, verse 4, and then we're going to look at the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verse 30. So Psalm 37, 4, which happens to be one of my favorite verses, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. I've got a cute little story about this verse. I think it was about 24, 25-ish. I was home staying with my parents between my third and fourth year of Bible college, and I got up, and I was sitting in bed, and I grabbed my Bible and my Strong's Concordance, and I hadn't even got out of bed yet, and I'm doing a word study on this verse. I'm looking up, you know, the word in the Hebrew, and that's just me. I was that kind of a geeky 20-something. That was me. And while I'm doing this word study about delighting myself in the Lord gave me one of the desires of my heart. The phone rang, and it was Wayne Goodine, my teachers from Bible college, who you saw them here if you were here in August for our choir Sunday. He called up and invited me to go with them to Canada on a music tour and to join them for a little holiday with their family on Prince Edward Island. Now, I had been wanting to go to PEI for about 10 years. So I laughed right out loud when he said that, because I had just been studying this verse, delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. And this is what I found in that word study, and I return to it a lot. The delight in the Lord. You know what? I'm getting a little ahead of myself. Let me just say a couple other things before we get to there. I'm ready to jump into it. But let's go ahead and read Mark chapter 12, verse 30, because it goes along with this. This is Jesus speaking. He said, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. Delight yourself in the Lord and love the Lord your God. Let's just pray for a moment. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, which is powerful and it is life-giving. And I pray that it would enter into our souls and change our very conduct from the inside out so that we could give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So as we're thinking about what we want to do in 2016, maybe ways that we want to improve our prayer life or our devotional time, our personal time with the Lord. And for some of us here, that may just mean starting to have personal time with the Lord on a regular basis, on a daily basis. Maybe that's something, that's your next step. Just start talking to the Lord, reading his word, spending some time with him on a daily basis. Now, for some of us, maybe this time of year when we're thinking about, oh yeah, my devotional time, we might have to press through some memories of some pretty bad devotional fails in the past. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm going to read the Bible through in 2 months. I'm going to pray for 2 hours every morning. I'm going to fast 3 days a week. You know, got all these big ambition, these great ideas. And then we kind of crash and burn somewhere near the middle of January. And so we need to press through that. And so I'm hoping that this some things that we share today will help us get past that and really grow in our relationship with the Lord. I have to be honest with you. Can I just be real? Now, maybe if some of you have quiet time like this, I'm not knocking it. I'm not at all. But I personally, I think that the stereotypical quiet time with Jesus is a bit of a unicorn. I think it might be a kind of a mythological. I've never seen one. I've never, you know, where you get your coffee, it's in a Christian mug, and you sit down in a rocking chair and a little rug by your feet, and you got your little snuggie, and the lamp is on, and it's quiet. I mean, there's nobody in the house, I guess. It's totally quiet. And you pray down your little prayer list for all your people, and you read your Bible, and then you read your devotional book, and then you write in a journal for like 30 minutes every day, completely uninterrupted. If you do that, God love you. Probably you should be up here speaking. But for all the rest of us who maybe we're not losers, we're not failures if you don't have the stereotypical quiet time with Jesus. So I want us to look in that. And sometimes what happens is we start out with a lot of great intentions, and then along the way, we can end up doing devotions without being devoted. And I've been there. I've been there. We can do the devotions without being actually devoted. So I pray that these thoughts will be a practical help. Let's return to Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. And I was about to tell you, you know, the word study on that. The word delight actually means to luxuriate. Think about that word for a moment. Luxuriate. What do you get in your mind? I mean, you might get the feeling of like a fur coat or something really warm and or maybe sinking into a hot tub, you know, and the little bubbles are at it. Oh, man, you're just so relaxing. Oh. Just luxuriate in it. That's what this Hebrew word is all about. Delight yourself in the Lord. It literally means to be soft or pliable, like silly putty or something. And that's what happens, right? When you relax, you get in a hot tub, your muscles really become soft and pliable, and there's just this sense of complete contentment and not a care in the world. That's what the Lord's calling us to delight in him. And he's inviting us to this. So if you're taking notes, I don't know if you're a note taker, but if you're taking notes, this would be like point number one, that we move from duty to delight in our time with the Lord, that we move from duty to delight. Now duty and discipline, that's not a bad thing. I'm not knocking that. That's good. And sometimes, let me tell you, if you haven't experienced it yet, be ready, because at some point in your Christian walk, you will probably go through a desert, and it may be only discipline that carries you. And I hate to break that news to you. If you thought that, you know, walking with the Lord was every day roses and daisies and, you know, it's blue skies and it's great, sometimes he will lead us through the valley of the shadow of death. Sometimes he will lead us into the wilderness, and our relationship with him grows so much stronger there. And sometimes it is just that discipline of knowing he is my God, I'm his servant, I'm his child, I'm gonna know his word, I'm gonna just keep doing this, whether I have the tingly feelings or not. So discipline is a good thing, but let me tell you, it pales next to passion. Discipline is a good thing, but it pales next to passion. And I suspect, I really believe that 60 seconds of true delight is better than 60 minutes of duty. 60 seconds of really delighting ourselves in the Lord is better than 60 minutes of just doing the thing, checking off the list. I prayed for my people, I checked off the list, I did my duty. So that's the first thing. Let's move from duty to delight. The second thing is make it personal. This is not a cookie cutter thing. And, you know, I know we can get devotional books, you know, from Christian bookstores, and those are great. Some of you like those. Some may not work for everybody. But make it personal. Maybe you need to do the Bible on audio. You know, maybe you're a morning person, maybe you're a night owl, but make it personal to you and the Lord. You're not doing this for anybody else. Okay? This is between you and the Lord. So make your time with him, make it personal. So get creative. Maybe you need to sing in the car, worship him in the car, pray while you're walking the dog, you know, listen to a podcast of a Bible lesson while you're changing a diaper or folding laundry, you know, whatever you need to do. Make it personal. Make it personal. Don't try to conform to something that just does not work with your life or your personality at all, because you won't be able to keep it up, right? We can't keep stuff like that up. And the most important thing really is the time that we spend delighting in the Lord. So let's look now at Mark chapter 12, verse 30. This is Jesus speaking, and he's actually quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 6. This was part of the Shema, the scripture that the Hebrew people loved to quote. This was one of their most powerful prayers, and he's quoting it. And he said, Mark 12, 30, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." Now our heart is the seat of our emotions. That's what your heart is. When the Bible's talking about your heart, it's talking about something deep within you, your core. It's where all of those emotions that sometimes we don't know how to name them. That's where it's coming from. It's coming from our heart. And the soul, and our soul is, that's really the me inside of me. Do you ever talk to yourself? Now listen here, Lace, you need to shape up here. That's my soul doing the speaking, probably to my emotions. That's the you that's eternal. That has to do with your will, your power to choose and to look at things and make a choice. That's the essence of who you are. Your mind, our mind is our intellect. That's our ability to think and reason and our imagination. It's our mind. And then finally, there's our strength. And that has to do with our ability. But what's really neat, I said Jesus was quoting from Deuteronomy. So out of curiosity, I looked it up in Deuteronomy, and I like to look up stuff in the Strong's Concordance. And it said that word means vehemence. Vehemence. It's like ferocious. And the picture I got was, I don't know if you've seen the movies, any of the movies of The Hobbit or The Lord of the Rings, and you know there's these guys and they're just battling it out and they're swinging their swords and they're usually completely outnumbered. The good guys are always completely outnumbered. And they're just fighting ferociously with vehemence. And that's what this word means. And I'm supposed to love God like that. Just bare knuckled, you know, going hard after him. To love the Lord our God with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. And we're called to love him that way. With all of our being, with our emotions, our will, our intellect, and our abilities, with all of that we are. And so that tells me a couple of things. First, it tells me that loving the Lord, I'm spending time with him in my personal time and devotional time, it's telling me it's not about me. It's not even for me. And I think that's where I often derail, is that I think that this devotional time is for me. And he's calling us, delight in me. Love me with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. That means it's not about me. Devotional time is about him. It's about him. It's not for me. It's for him. And it's not because God is some sort of egomaniac on a celestial throne demanding love and attention. Not at all. It's because he knows that self-interest is the most destructive thing we could do. He knows that. And so in his gracious wisdom, he tells us, love me. Love me. Delight in me. And that's what frees us from self. And that's where we get into all kinds of trouble when we get all self-interested. That's where we get into all kinds of trouble. So when we spend time with the Lord and we make it for him and not for us, it's a very freeing thing. It also tells me, this verse tells me that devotions are not about devotions. They're not for me. And they're not for themselves. They are not an end in themselves. The point of devotions is not to have devotions. The point of devotion, and I prefer to use the term like that, not devotions, but devotion. That's what I'm doing. I'm being devoted, right? I'm exercising my devotion to the Lord. That they're not an end in themselves. The point is for me to commune with my Savior, to commune with my God. His Holy Spirit is in me, and I am in him, and we're communing together. That's the point. And I'm not sitting up here pretending like I've got this all down. I don't want you to think that for a minute, like, oh yeah, I've got this all figured out, and me and Jesus have coffee for 3 hours every day, and y'all need to shape up. No, hardly. But devotions are not about me, they're about him, and devotions are not about devotions. They're not an end in themselves. I just want to wrap up with looking at each of these elements one more time from Mark 12:30, heart, soul, mind, and strength. So we're called to love God with all of our being. And one thing that he's been speaking to me about lately is imbalance in that. Like if we love him with one area only and we neglect loving him and exercising these other areas, it can get us out of balance. So I don't know if any of this will sound familiar to you, maybe what your relationship with the Lord has felt like or your devotional life has been like, but these things can happen. So if I was loving the Lord my God with all of my heart, but not really focusing too much, not really getting too much involved with my soul, my will, my intellect, and my strength, I would have really great, zealous, emotional time with the Lord, but it would not be very steady. And very likely, I could easily slip off into error in my understanding of who God is and his word, because I'm not engaging my intellect. It would be undisciplined because there's no will, not really engaging my will. So, you know, some days I do devotion, sometimes I don't. And, oh, we have a great time with Jesus and I get goosebumps, but it's so all over the map. I mean, I think I've experienced all of these, so I'm not trying to throw any stones, but that's what can happen if there's an overemphasis on loving the Lord with our heart and we're leaving other things behind. But what about if I'm loving the Lord my God with all my soul? Remember we said the soul that's the essence of who we are. That's kind of the me that's in charge. That's the will that I have. So if I'm loving the Lord there, man, you want to talk about some disciplined devotions. We're going to, no matter what the temperature is, no matter what the time is, we're going to meet with the Lord. We're going to spend time in his word. This is what we're going to do. So it's going to be very committed, but it would be rather lifeless. Where's the emotion? Where's the warmth? Where's the excitement about being in the presence of my Savior? It's okay to have some emotion in there. It can't be all one. That's why there's four of them here. What about I'm loving the Lord my God with all of my mind? but, you know, there's not so much soul or heart or strength. Well, I'd probably have really great a foundation of biblical knowledge, and my philosophy and my theology would be solid, but it would end up being rather impersonal, because it's with our emotions and with our will that we really connect with the Lord personally. And so it would be rather lifeless. It would mostly exist between our ears. My relationship with God is all up here in my head, and it's not showing up in my daily life, my strength, you know? I'm neglecting some areas. And finally, if I was to love the Lord my God with all of my strength, but I'm not really getting my heart and my soul and my mind involved, well, that would look great on the outside, because I'd probably be doing a lot of external things, serving the Lord. I'm going to get really engaged in service. I'm serving the Lord. I'm serving others. I'm doing a lot of things outwardly. I'm using my abilities for the Lord. But internally, I'm still empty. And why? It's not because I'm not saved. It's not because I don't love the Lord, but because I'm not really actively engaging these other parts of my being. We're not just a little sliver of a being. There's a vastness that God has created in us. There's a complexity that is in us. And Brother Rob was talking in the first service about the Lord has made us spiritual beings, and we're also physical beings. And we don't need to neglect one part or the other. So when the Bible's telling us, let's love the Lord our God with all of our heart, let's get passionate about him. Let's restore the passion to our relationship and delight in him, that when you think about the Lord, it just makes you smile. You can't keep a smile off your face. It engages your emotions. It brings a certain peace that stirs up in your soul, that no matter what's going on, it's affecting your emotions. It's settling the anxiety. It's settling the anger. It's settling things. It's affecting our emotions. It's bringing a tear. Maybe it's bringing sobs. Maybe they're happy tears. Maybe we burst out laughing. I've done that before. The Lord just, sometimes he just cracks me up and I just burst out laughing. But we also want to love him with our soul. We want to get that personal essence involved, our will. Because sometimes that, you know, emotions will carry us a while, but they don't really carry you all the way. That's why it's got to be all of us. Our will, get our intellect involved. Let's stir up our minds. The Bible tells us to do that, actually, to think on good things and to know what we believe and be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks us about the hope that we have in Christ. We need to know what we believe and why we believe it. And like Brother Rob said, nobody can really spoon feed that to you. We got to get in there and dig that out ourselves and know what we believe and exercise our mind. It's not, some people think if you're going to be a Christian, you have to check your brain at the door. I completely disagree. There is so much scope for the intellect, because God is the creator of the universe. There is vast scope for our intellect to be exercised in following Christ and being in his kingdom. And finally, we love him with our strength. That means it's getting outside into the physical world. It's showing up outside of us. It's not just private. That's the thing in our day today, right? Our society, well, faith is a private matter. Let's keep it out of the public square, right? We hear that a lot. It's a private matter. You can believe whatever you want to believe, as if there's some kind of highway in the middle of society where there's no religion here of any kind. That's a myth. That can't happen, because the lack of believing something is a belief in of itself. You know what I'm saying? So what this devotion and this delight in the Lord, my prayer is that it would really start shining out more and more in all of us, that it's part of our conduct, that our life is affected everywhere we go all the time. It's not something that we do sometimes when we're, oh, I'm thinking about Jesus now. But it's so in us. We're so saturated, so luxuriating in his presence on a daily basis, that it comes out and we're exercising, loving him with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your presence this morning. I thank you for your word, and I thank you that your Holy Spirit, you are so tender with us. You don't beat us over the head when you want to correct us or challenge us. You woo us. You draw us. You beguile us with your love and your compassion and your mercy. You call to us and you reach out to us. Thank you that that's the way you are. You could be different. You could bark orders at us, but you are kind, and we thank you for your kindness. We thank you, Lord, too, for your power and your strength, because you are not weak. In all of your kindness, you are mighty and you are strong. And I thank you that you work in our hearts, and that tomorrow is a fresh day, and there are no mistakes in it, and that you can use us and you can draw us, and that you want to draw us close to you in this coming year, so that, and just that we would delight in our relationship with you and love you with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Lacey. Would you give her a hand right now? We're thankful to have her in our church. I just want to say a couple things, and then I want to dismiss you guys. This is an interesting week. Thank you for coming to church on December 27th. The days between Christmas and New Year's are always kind of odd to me. You're not sure what to do, but you came to church, and that's wonderful. So thank you for being here. Last Sunday, we had the biggest crowd we've ever had at Promised Land San Marcos. It was even bigger than Easter. It was amazing. It's been many, many years since we've had a Christmas crowd that was bigger than an Easter crowd. So that happened this year. So thank you for being here last week and inviting your friends and neighbors and all that stuff. Next Sunday, I'll be preaching up here on January the 3rd, and I'm going to be... You know, there's nothing like a good rerun. You know, go watching a show, you've already seen it before, and it's like, you know, everything's coming up. Next Sunday, I'm going to be preaching the entire year of sermons in one sermon. So you're going to want to come and get a load of that next Sunday. We'll just call it rerun. And then First Wednesday worship is about 10 days, 11 days from now. It's the Wednesday, January 6th, I think. And our founder will be here that night, Kenneth Phillips. So make plans to be here on First Wednesday. And then the Sunday following that, we're going to have a brand new sermon series. And we're going to be expounding on some of these topics that Lacey brought out and that my dad brought out. And if you missed the 8:15 service, my dad spoke at the 8:15 service. And we're going to put these on our podcast online. So if you want to go back and hear one that you missed, you can do that. And those of you that are taking notes and figuring out calculating things, Mike Hollyfield's the only one left. So he's going to be preaching at the next service. And we have no idea what he's going to be preaching about. But I'm excited about it. I'm glad to have so many people in our church that are they love God, and they have lived a life that is on full display. And it's good to hear from them. Good to hear from their hearts. So we're very thankful. Thank you, Lacey, for preparing a message on Christmas week. My dad. All right. There'll be some people praying down the front if you'd like further prayer this morning. We're also baptizing folks if you'd like to be baptized today on the last Sunday of 2015. We'd love to do that as well. Would you stand with me and let me pray a prayer of blessing over you, and you guys can take off. Lord, we pray today that your face would shine upon us, that your glory would shine, that you would be gracious towards us this week. I pray that it's a week of rest for many, that we can recharge and have a Sabbath and just be a little introspective this week, find out the things that have happened in 2015, and Lord, where you've been there for us, and then God having a clear direction of where we head this coming year. I pray as we go to work, as we are hanging out with family, whatever we're doing, that we would be the salt of the earth, the light of the world, a city set on a hill that's not ashamed, but being a testimony and being a witness of your amazing grace and what you've done for us in our lives. May we share that with all those we come in contact with. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed. We love you. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you next year.